Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saves you. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We pray that you would behold Jalen and Asia Marie according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam, and which she herself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Beloved in the Lord, from ancient times, the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates to assist parents and family members in the responsibility of raising children in the faith. Sponsors, you are to confess the faith, expressed in the Apostles' Creed, and taught in the Small Catechism. You are to serve as witnesses of Jalen's baptism. You are to pray for her every day. Support her in her ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage her for the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Finally, you are at all times to be an example to her of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Joanne and Timothy, is it your intention to serve Jalen, Asia Marie as sponsors in the Christian faith? Then say yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
God enable you both to will and to do his faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. From the Gospel of Mark, they brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. As we witness this baptism, I encourage you to take hold of your own baptism as you, again, daily renounce the devil and confess your faith in the glory of God. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Jalen and Asia Marie, do you renounce the devil?
Yes.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes.
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Yes, I believe.
Jalen Asia Marie, do you desire to be baptized? Jalen Asia Marie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jalen, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace for life everlasting. Please stand. Let us pray. Almighty, most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and have granted Jalen and Asia Marie the new birth and holy baptism, and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Peace be with you. We continue with the inquiry. Heaven and earth will pass away,
but my words will not pass away.
I lift up my eyes to the hills.
From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
The Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in.
From this time forth and forevermore. Father, have mercy on us.
Let us pray.
O Lord, almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may live and abide forever in your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second last Sunday before Advent is from the book of the prophet Malachi, the fourth chapter. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's second letter to the church in Thessalonica, the third chapter. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And they asked him, Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? And he said to them, See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified. For these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once. Then he said to them, Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against the people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, and I repeat from the gospel reading, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is our text. I suspect that, like me, you have a way of organizing your life. I carry around with me a little calendar, a day planner. You might do the same in digital format, perhaps. My day planner helps me remember important dates. It keeps track of upcoming events and projects. It enables me to set aside time to do the things that I'm called to do, to prepare sermons and Bible studies, for appointments and for meetings. And you can believe what it's like when I misplace my day planner. When I can't find it, I feel lost. I feel disorganized. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. My calendar keeps those things in front of me, even when they don't have specific dates, even things that are still a long way off. The church has a calendar as well. Our calendar of worship services and readings is like that. It helps us remember and reflect on things that we might otherwise ignore or forget. We need the discipline and the structure of the church year, just as we require calendars for daily life. Now today, this morning, our readings, prayers, and hymns direct our attention to an important upcoming event, the end of the world and Christ's return. The final weeks of the church year, today and next Sunday, focus on these last things. Jesus will come again in a cloud with power and great glory, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. This hope is what shapes us. This hope shapes how we live on earth now. Your days are not simply a meaningless repetition of mornings and evenings or of weeks and months and years. Instead, each day looks forward to the great day of the Lord, and each day draws us closer to that. Knowing Jesus' promise to come again, we live with faith and hope as we await our final redemption. It all starts in our gospel reading with a simple comment about the beauty of the temple. One of the disciples makes a comment about those magnificent stones, and that leads Jesus to discuss upcoming events. He uses the temple's magnificent stones as an object lesson to teach about the future of the temple, about the future of Jerusalem where the temple stood, and even about the future of the universe. And what Jesus has to say is this: they won't last forever. Not the temple, not Jerusalem, not the universe. They are not permanent fixtures. And because they won't last, none of them can provide eternal security. The temple could not be a lasting refuge. Jerusalem could not be a place of permanent safety. The universe is not a place where we can expect to live forever. In the temple, that amazing construction, that marvel of design, not one stone would be left on another. Can you imagine the impact that those words had on the disciples who were looking at the temple? Not one stone left on another. Surely at least two would be left standing together. But this is what Jesus says: stone by stone, that temple would be torn down. It would be leveled, it would be destroyed in a coming judgment. In a coming judgment that serves as a preview for the final judgment of the world. Now, anytime we talk about the last things, about Christ's return in glory and the end of the world, certain questions always come up, and they came up also for the disciples, like, when will it be? And what will be the signs? And how do we prepare for it? With those questions, the question always is, why do you want to know? Why do you want to know the day or the hour? Why do you want to know the signs? How would knowing the date of Christ's return help you live by faith now? How would a detailed outline of the end time events give you hope in this moment? As if that's all we need to be prepared. Jesus, just tell me the day, the time, and the order of events, and that'll be good enough for me. As if that would equip us to handle it from there. But this is where faith differs from knowledge. Faith lives not by what it knows about the future, but faith lives by trusting the one who holds the future in his hands. Do we want to be like God, knowing the beginning and the end? God has said that we are on a need-to-know basis, and we don't need to know the date of Christ's return. Trying to figure it out, dwelling on and focusing on that, on the day and the time and the events leading up to it, all of that will actually leave us less prepared when he comes. So how do we prepare for the future? The only preparation for the future announced by Jesus is Jesus himself. I want to repeat that. The only preparation for the future announced by Jesus is Jesus himself. The disciples are staring at the temple stones, stones that will soon be torn down. And there stands Jesus, the stone cut by no human hands that will stand forever. As Jesus said, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. He was not talking about a stone lying off to the side of the building. He was talking about himself. And he was rejected. The priests, the leaders, the scribes, they rejected the stone that God had established. They wrecked his body. They leveled him to the ground, right into the grave. But they never imagined what would happen next. That God would reach into that grave. That God would take what had been torn down and wrecked and destroyed, and God would rebuild it. On the third day, the temple of his body rose from the grave, just as he promised. And our hope, our future, everything that we need to know lies there in him. Because what Jesus said about the end cannot be understood apart from his death and his resurrection. Think about what happened on Good Friday. Jesus is hanging on the cross. What is happening in that event? Right there in his body, the world was judged, and all sin, every single sin from the beginning to the end, was condemned in his body. And on Easter Sunday, our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead as the first fruits of those who would be raised from the dead. His resurrection is a promise that there are more resurrections to come, and they will come. So don't get caught up in the questions about the end. One of my fears as pastor is that there are so many voices and so many things out there. There is much that is good, but much that is also not good. And it's easy to get caught up in some questions or comments or ideas about the end or what is coming. Don't let those things grab a hold of you. Good Friday and Easter, these are the days and these are the events that we need to know. Those who take refuge in Christ, crucified and risen, have redemption on the last day. Those who take refuge in Christ, who died and rose again, will be delivered from death and every evil. Those who take refuge in this Jesus will have a blessed end. That's what we need to know. Jesus warns about all sorts of things. He warns in particular about false Christs. He says that they'll come. Be ready. They'll come claiming to be him. They'll come saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Don't pay any attention to them. Those false Christs are just as worthless as the temple stones. They are destined for destruction. They are unable to save. So that we won't be deceived, the real Jesus has given us all that we need. He has given us his own word. He has given us holy baptism by which we are joined to his death and resurrection. He has given us his body and blood on this altar. He has given us what we need. We know where he is. We know where to find him. And we know that until he comes, this is where we meet him in his word and his sacraments. And when he comes again, there will be no doubt. There will be no question. There will be no need for us to stand around and say, "Do you think that's him or not?" Every eye will be opened, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. This Jesus who comes now in his word and in these sacraments, he is the shelter for us from life's storms. He is the refuge for us in the midst of the world's tumult. He is our redemption. He is the forgiveness of our sins. He is our life and our salvation. And without him, we would most certainly be lost. But in him we have life now and forever. Faith looks to Jesus, not to this or that date, but to him. And because of what Jesus did in the past, because of what Jesus does in the present, his disciples, you as well, can endure the future. This is how we can press forward to what lies ahead. Jesus tells us what to expect as we await his coming. He describes the last days as a difficult time, a time of tribulation, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famines, diseases, and wars, terrors and signs in the heavens, persecution, suffering, and death for Christians on the earth. You know, these things have been taking place ever since Jesus spoke them. They were true 10 years ago and 20 years ago. The signs of the end are everywhere. The death throes of the universe are happening now. Have our senses become so dull? Have we become so used to these things that we can no longer recognize them for what they are? But the end is everywhere foreshadowed. Daily, every single day, there are reminders that the Lord will come again and bring to an end this fallen creation. And we know that he's coming because his word is true. He said the temple stones would be torn down, and it happened. In the year AD 70, the Romans came and they tore down the temple. We know that what Jesus says happens because it did. His disciples were put to death for confessing their faith. Jerusalem was surrounded and besieged and trampled underfoot. Those who heeded his word escaped to the hills and were spared. And now our Lord locates us in that time between the destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70 and the end of the world. We are in what he calls the times of the Gentiles, a time for the gospel to spread from Jerusalem into the whole world, a time for his gospel to come right here to central Massachusetts. A time for disciples to be made of all nations through baptizing and through teaching. So what are we to do in this time? While we hold fast to Christ's death and resurrection, and as we look forward to his coming again in glory, how are we to live? St. Paul tells us that we are not to grow weary of doing good. He reminds us that we are not to be idle, just twiddling our thumbs while we wait for Christ to come. But we are to make use of this time, to do what God has called us to do, to carry out our callings at home and at church and in the world. And we are to bear witness to the world of the end time salvation that is ours in Christ. Because what looks to us like slowness, I know there are some of you who say, "I wish he'd come yesterday. Why doesn't he come? Why hasn't he come yet? When will he come again?" It looks to us like slowness, but on the Lord's part, it is simply his patience. He wants no one to perish, but that all should reach repentance. Waiting for the second coming, continuing to observe the signs of the world's end, the church does what Christ has given her to do. The church calls to repentance. The church forgives sins. The church proclaims the gospel. So this is what I call and encourage you to do. Live boldly and confidently. Do not be afraid of the end, because you know how it ends with Jesus. Your redemption is near, and you live in the light of that eternal redemption. Make your daily sacrifices as you go about your life. Offer your bodies to Christ because of what he gives and what he promises. I know that sometimes we read this passage of Scripture and it sounds frightening. The world will come to an end. The sun and the moon and the stars will fail. The earth will shake and the ocean will be in an uproar. Terror will seize the world. When everything falls apart, when death approaches, when the end comes, did you notice what Jesus says to do? He doesn't say curl up in the fetal position and wail and cry. He doesn't say go pull the covers up over your head. He says when these things take place, stand tall and lift your head. The Son of Man will come again. And unless he takes us first, we will see him with our own eyes. The redemption that is already yours will burst into full bloom. The joys of paradise, the resurrected body, the new heavens and the new earth, eternal life with Christ, perfect redemption. In Jesus, we have a sure and certain hope. And while we can't put a particular date on the calendar, it still remains on our calendar. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea each week simply to write in the words, Christ will come again. Every Sunday, every Monday, to remind us that it is coming. So the church year keeps us remembering this promise that Jesus has made. And just as everything else Jesus said has happened, we believe that this will happen as well. We know that he brings our redemption. We live now in the light of that promise. We live now forgiven by Jesus. We live secure in Jesus. We live awaiting Jesus. Because the judgment of our sin has already happened, and the new life that God has for us has already begun. So lift up your hearts. The day is surely drawing near. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Please be seated. I now invite forward those being received as members, Brittany Jean McKay and Abby and Aaron McDermott. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. View this day in the presence of God and of this congregation. Acknowledge the gifts God gave you in your baptism.
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
You believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit.
Yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you?
I will, with the help of God.
Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please stand. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your sons and daughters, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit, they may continue steadfast in the one true faith, in the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Aaron, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. Abby, welcome back in the name of the Lord. Denise, welcome in the name of the Lord. Rich, welcome in the name of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. For steadfastness in the word of God, which will never pass away, that in these last days we may turn our eyes from the distress of this failing world and lift them to Christ, our helper and keeper, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For ministers of the gospel and those who hear it gladly, especially all persecuted Christians, that they may be delivered from wicked and evil men, be given a mouth and wisdom to confess Christ boldly, and endure faithfully to the end, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For deliverance from fear as we witness the signs of the times, that we would have clear-headed judgment in the face of so many concerns, for our newly elected and re-elected leaders, that they would govern with true wisdom, and, though the nations rage and the powers press against the church, for the courage to give witness to the word that does not change, and to the mercy that is our hope in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. For our military veterans, with thanksgiving for their service in the armed forces and the sacrifices they have made to protect our freedoms, that those currently serving would be kept from harm and know the peace of Christ, that our chaplains would be faithful evangelists and servants of the word, and that all veterans would receive the respect and care due to them, let us pray to the Lord. For all of us in our various callings and daily life, including John and Tamas in their upcoming travels, Michael and Nancy Jane in their return to Italy and service on the mission field, and for all who are involved in foster care and adoption, that our bodies and souls may be upheld in the love and steadfastness of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in affliction, especially Cynthia, Anthony, Karen, Luann, Carol, Al and Bernie, Dan and Connie, Dan and Patty, Debbie, Gail, Lorinda, Sandy, Rick and Teresa, Thomas, Tony, Tracy, and Verity, that they may endure in hope and raise up their heads as they await the coming of their redemption. Christ Jesus, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for all who eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus, that God would give us repentant hearts to receive the forgiveness of sins and to proclaim joyfully Christ's death until he comes in glory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, as the days pass and all things move to their appointed end, keep us from being complacent. Keep us alert and awake, so that when the day comes, we may greet you and rejoice in your eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, and ever thankful of your glory.
Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
Psalm 98. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Bring forth unto the joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre, with the lyre and the sound of the melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that's in it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Thank you.
and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.